Hi, this is Kevin Harlan, the voice of Monday Night Football and the NBA on TNT. Welcome to Bay Area Sports Rap. No politics, no nonsense, just sports.
That should do it. Well, a nice finish for Atlanta to the season. Todd Bowles, Tom Brady, and the Bucks will host a playoff game against either Dallas and Philly next week.
Was it the outcome that you wanted, but you've managed to break yet another record this year, 490 completions, bested your 485 from last year. Just what can you say about having the opportunity to go out there and break new records at 45?
I always, you know, just love going out there to compete and love with my teammates and love competing with those guys. I've got a great group of guys that I go to work with every day. And, you know, we try to show up for everybody and be the best we could be. So, you know, it's these are all team records, in my opinion. I've always said that. Just, I don't catch one ball. I think I caught one or two in my career.
That's right.
Well, yeah, that one stunk. I've had a few bad ones that didn't go well at all. And then maybe one or two that went okay. So those are hard to come by.
Bring in our special guest here with us on Bay Area Sports Rap. It's my pleasure to introduce to you guys Ruth Kakias, who is the host of The Moment of Truth on Saturdays from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern on AM 1150 WTMP out in the Tampa Bay area. Ruth covers the Buccaneers, and we're going to have her here to talk some NFL playoffs with the wild card weekend beginning this Saturday. And the first game on the dock happens to be our game out here on the West Coast. It's going to be the San Francisco 49ers hosting the Seattle Seahawks at 1:30 at Levi Stadium. You got the number 2 seed versus the number 7 seed, and it's going to be, a pretty exciting game. Again, it'll be the third time these teams play against each other. Niners finished the regular season on a 10-game winning streak. They're fully healthy right now. They have a rookie quarterback that is looking more and more comfortable with each game he has played. They happen to have the league's number one defense as well. Now, Ruth, I'm going to ask you, do you feel that they are the team to beat right now in the NFC with the way they've been playing so far?
I have felt like the 49ers are that team to beat since they destroyed the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas last season. They've always had a really prominent defense. That first defensive line is going to get to any quarterback, and they don't have troubles doing that. So I'm not surprised that they've had a 10-game winning streak. Brock Purdy looks really good, really comfortable with that offense. Are you guys having Deebo Samuel return, or is he going to be out in this first round?
He is actually going to be available. In fact, he came back this past week against the Arizona Cardinals.
Wow, and that's outstanding to hear, because that injury looked pretty bad against the Tampa Bay Bucks when they whooped Brady in his homecoming there in Santa Clara. So really excited to have Deebo back, and yeah, you guys are healthy at the right time, and this is pretty impressive to have an 18-week season, 17 games played, and have your team and starters being all healthy and available. So that is definitely going to work to their advantage. And I'm sorry, Gino, you guys have carried the Seahawks. It's been a crazy Cinderella story there in Seattle, but I think the road ends here for Gino and the Seahawks.
Yeah, I couldn't happen to agree with you more. I mean, you look at this last game that they barely could beat the Los Angeles Rams with Baker Mayfield, the quarterback there. That was a game they probably should have lost. And if they did, they would not be in the playoffs right now. I think we would be talking about the Detroit Lions in the playoffs. But as it stands, the Seahawks will be taking on the 49ers. And I just see that the Niners deep just totally going up and just dominating against Geno in that offensive line. The defensive line led by Nick Bosa is going to just destroy them. And this we should see pretty much a blowout win in Santa Clara, and that's what I'm looking forward to this Saturday. So it should be, like I said, a fun game to watch if anything, and I think the Niners are going to prevail and head on to the divisional playoff.
What do you? So what's really interesting is I want to know what happens with that starting quarterback position if Brock Purdy carries them to an NFC championship game, or at least wins one or two playoff games in his rookie year. Do they go back to Trey Lance once he becomes healthy? Does Jimmy Garoppolo have a chance? Is Jimmy Garoppolo on the move? What is the San Francisco people thinking right now when it comes to the quarterback situation? Ryan, I'm gonna swing that to you.
Well, I think that I think Jimmy G is going to have to find a new place to call home, because I don't think he's coming back to the 49ers. Trey Lance, they've invested too much money into, and they have high hopes for him. So I think he might ride the bench a little bit, but I think for sure they're going to keep him around. But Garoppolo is looking to play somewhere else. I just don't see him coming back to the Niners. Don't you think, Marco?
Yeah, I believe this is it for Jimmy G. He had this kind of a swan song, unfortunately, and ended with a broken foot. But even if he does come back for, like, say, the NFC Championship or even the Super Bowl, if they get that far, I do believe that this is it for him. With the emergence of Brock Purdy coming in these last six games, you just think that it's going to be a tandem of Lance and Purdy next year for 2023 for this 49ers team. And how good is that for them to have these two young guys who – You know, at least Purdy's started to establish himself. And I think, you know, given time, Lance will be able to do that too. So Jimmy's had a good run here in Santa Clara. And I think, you know, he'll be able to find at least five different teams that will have interest in him, wanting him to be the starting quarterback in 2023.
Yeah, I just want to say that. I want to add that, you know, nobody, of course, thought that Brock Purdy would do what he would do. And just to illustrate that point, no Mr. Irrelevant had ever even thrown a forward pass. So the fact that he's thrown at least two touchdowns in every game he's played in, I believe, and he threw three in the last game, even though he got sacked four times. I mean, this guy just plays with so much poise and so much quiet confidence. I mean, that's why he's called Big Blank Brock, right? By George Kittle. You know, I think of a chicken nickname. That's what his other nickname is. Okay, so that you can figure that out. So anyway, he's been amazing. I mean, this guy's been a great quarterback for the Niners. Nobody thought he would do what he would do. And he, again, the one thing I noticed in the very first game he played in was his ability to roll to his right and throw on the run. And Garoppolo can't do that. He just doesn't have the presence or the confidence to be able to play quarterback that way. And a lot of times he rushes his throws. A la Derek Carr, not quite as bad. I don't think anybody throws interceptions quite as bad as Derek Carr does. But
Dak Prescott.
Russell Wilson.
What's that?
I said Dak Prescott.
I'll give you credit, Ruth. I know you follow a lot of the league better than I do. I just follow the Niners and Raiders. But I'll tell you, though, that's the one thing I've really noticed with Purdy is his confidence is amazing. I mean, he's really surprised a lot of people, even longtime football experts like Greg Cosell, who says, I believe he was quoted as saying that he doesn't see any flaws in Purdy's game.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a little premature to say that Brock Purdy could really carry a team to a Super Bowl, but I mean, the way that he's been playing, I don't blame that narrative, but I've been really impressed with his style of play, the way he's able to maneuver the pocket, and he just really can see the field and read some defenses. So, I mean, we got to give some props to Kyle Shanahan and that coaching staff that's been able to mold this rookie into what we've been able to see on the field. But I've been impressed, and I think this first round is going to be a cakewalk for them going against the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry,
go ahead, Ryan. Finish off.
No, go ahead, Marco.
I was going to say that, yeah, the way I look at this is that, look, Brock Purdy doesn't need to lead them to the Super Bowl. The Niners defense will do that for them. That's how good they are. That's how good they've been. And that's where they're going to ride in this playoffs. So, you know, Brock Purdy's kind of just along for the ride, and he's enjoying it right now. And you can't blame the guy. All right. I switch over to the last game of wild card weekend. And that's going to be the Monday night football game between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going up against those Dallas Cowboys. It's going to be an 8:15 start, 5:15 here on the West Coast. And, you know, the Bucs, a team that really just won the war of attrition that is known as the NFC South to get into these playoffs. Now, Ruth, I got to ask you, you've been covering this team all season. You know, how much of a chance do they really have at beating this Dallas Cowboys team that has been a Jekyll and Hyde act throughout this 2022 season?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to be a Dallas Cowboys fan that is super high on her team right now, but I haven't really been impressed with the play of our offense, and our defense has been kind of lacking since week 11 in this season. So I don't have extreme confidence that the Dallas Cowboys can get it done. Brady has been getting really lucky lately, and he's been showing these glimpses of his GOAT mentality that we've seen throughout his whole 23-year career. And we've been seeing a lot of it recently in these last few games. So I'm not going to say that Dallas should be coming in here thinking that they're just going to completely own the Buccaneers, because it's going to be a tough fought battle. I think it's going to be a pretty low scoring game between both teams. I think Dallas pulls it out somehow, but the only way that's going to be easy for them or possible for them is if Dak Prescott takes care of the ball, because he's tied with Derek Carr with the most interceptions in an NFL season right now. And he missed 5 weeks. So I haven't really been impressed how he's been able to take care of the ball, and they haven't really ran the ball, which is kind of their identity in the last few weeks too. So I want to see a healthy Tony Pollard out there. Ezekiel Elliott's got to make some deep runs as well, but it's going to be a pretty interesting matchup. Unfortunately, I won't be there in the press box, but I'll be there as a fan wearing all my Dallas gear, of course. But I will not be surprised, because, I mean, since Dak has joined the Buccaneers, Tom Brady is 7-0 against the Dallas Cowboys, playing with the Patriots and playing with the Bucs. So I won't be surprised if Brady and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and hopefully with the return of Ryan Jensen, it could be a fairy tale Cinderella story for them to start off the playoffs.
Yeah, this is a game. Could either be a high-scoring game, or it could be a low-scoring game, depending on just – I think these first couple of series are going to dictate what happens here. And, it's going to really be tough to determine who's going to really want the game more. And I think the turnover battle is the key in this game. Whoever turns the ball over less wins this game.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to say, so, Ruth, obviously there's no how should I say this, like confusion of allegiances, right? I mean, even though you cover the Buccaneers, you're rooting for the Cowboys all the way.
Oh, absolutely. I've been a Dallas Cowboys fan since birth. I've only followed the Buccaneers since Jameis Winston got drafted, because my sister went to FSU. But my alliances lie with the Blue Star, unfortunately, at times. But I have high expectations. I had high expectations for Dallas going into this season. And yeah, they're finishing the regular season 12-5, but there's just been a lot of hiccups and for example, take that Commanders game last weekend. I mean, they had all their starters in, and it was a complete struggle bus from start to finish. Dak Prescott throwing another pick six that we've seen. It's become a habit for him in the last few weeks. So I don't have extreme confidence right now in Dak and that offense. But if they can get a run game going, and Dak could avoid throwing some interceptions, they have a chance to beat Brady and the Bucs.
I was going to say, I see that you're sporting University of South Florida gear, but I tell you, we got to add you into a starter jacket or maybe a Cliff Angle cowboy sweater. I'll give Kylie Jenner credit. She once wore a Cliff Angle official cowboy sweater, and they actually had like one of these fashion blogs of trying to imitate her look. The actual sweater is cheaper than what they suggested on the fashion blog. And you look very good, by the way, in either a Cliff Angle sweater or a starter jacket.
I'll look into it. I want to get a starter jacket. That's been a dream of mine for quite some time.
Awesome. Also, speaking of Tom Brady, we mentioned him earlier, but do you feel in your heart of hearts that if the Bucs do not upset the Cowboys and win this game, that this is his last game? He's played his last game in a Tampa Bay uniform?
I think Brady's going to retire after this season. I think he's really tired of getting hit. I've seen him after in post-game conferences discussing the struggles that his team has had on and off throughout the season. And I just don't see the same light that we've seen in Brady's eyes when it comes to talking about football. So I think this year is going to be it for him, regardless of how the season ends. I know that he's ecstatic that they've made it into the postseason after all the struggles that they had in the regular season. But I really think 45 is that cutoff date for Brady. I mean, he'll be 46 at the start of the 2023 season. So I don't understand how he can just keep on going. But I mean, who knows? Who knows what Brady's thinking now that he has a freedom to do as he please, not being in the marriage with Gisele Bündchen anymore. Maybe he just doesn't really have anything else to go home to other than having his kids on the weekend. So who knows what Brady's really thinking, but I know that he's definitely avoiding every conversation that has to do with retirement right now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he wondered that question with me. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if that's the case, if he's avoiding questions regarding his retirement, I think he's coming back. I think the guy's a masochist, and he just loves football. And I think he wanted to get the heck away from his wife, which is why he's no longer married to her. And I think that, you know, a lot of – in certain athletes, that's why a lot of times they always, like, kind of criticize athletes for not leaving in their prime. Because for a lot of guys, it's hard for them to do so and to move on to something else. I mean, other than, like, Jim Brown, right? I mean, he's one of the few examples of a guy who, like, left the prime of his career.
Yeah, but I really don't feel like Brady has – I think he's exited his prime. I think his prime was over after the 2020 season when he brought a Super Bowl championship here to Tampa. I think that was kind of the cutoff right there for him. It's been a slow decline ever since. He did have great stats and impressive numbers in that 2021 season, but they lost in the second round against the Rams, who went on to win the Super Bowl. So I think I think he's starting to see that his game isn't as – he's not seeing the field as well as he used to. So I think he's coming to terms with his career finally coming to a decline.
We'll see.
Well, you'll just say father time is undefeated.
Right. But you know what? I still have to agree with you, though, Ryan. I think he's going to come back for another year. I just don't see this guy retiring now that he left the ball and chain behind and all that. I think he's going to come back another year. That's just me. And we'll see what happens.
Okay, but does he come back as a Buccaneer? Because he will be a free agent after this season. And, I mean, Josh McDaniels is over in Las Vegas without a quarterback, with Derek Carr kind of having a tuffle over there. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is probably leaving the 49ers. Is he going to join Kyle Shanahan and be close to his family, which has been a lot of conversation? There's been rumors, talks of him going back to New England to do his farewell tour. I mean, I've even heard names like the Steelers come up for him to have a possible landing spot. So how are you guys feeling? If he comes back to play, will it be in the red, white, and black, or is he making another move?
I think he's obviously going to make another move. You know, and I've heard him coming to the Raiders as a big rumor. That's possible. And him also going back home to the 49ers is also possible. Whether either team wants to make a push at him, we'll see. But I definitely think this is it for him in Tampa Bay. He is done. He's served his time there. And he's going to want to play one more year for someone else to see if he can prove it and win it with three different teams. That's just the ego that this guy has.
Yeah.
Huge ego. I couldn't agree more, Marco. And I tell you, I just think it was hilarious when Ruth was here, and we were so fortunate to meet Ruth. I'm so glad we got a chance to meet you. But watching Brady in his press conference, I got a couple of photos. It was hilarious. This guy is one of the worst losers he was a poor sport, I'm trying to say. But it's funny to watch. I love it. I love it on the rare occasion when he loses because he's so animated.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not used to losing. So it's like, how do you blame the man? He doesn't know how to answer those kind of questions because that's not his forte. That's something he's not used to. So it's definitely been an adjustment for the GOAT himself.
That's why it's so enjoyable. In fact, one of my signature moments besides covering that game with you when you were here against the Buccaneers is watching that game last season where he got so upset he threw the Microsoft tablet. It's hilarious. Or when he lost against the Patriots. I guess the Dolphins in that famous lateral, ended by Kenyon Drake. He was just so pissed off. It was so funny to watch.
Yes, his blow-ups have been great, fun entertainment for him.
I really imagine the NFL without Brady. As much as I would like to say that he's probably retiring and hanging up the cleats, as long as I could remember watching football, Tom Brady has been the face of the franchise. So I know that there's a lot of elite young talent, like a Patrick Mahomes, like a Joe Burrow, like a Josh Allen. I understand that, but it wouldn't be the same without Thomas Edward Patrick Brady taking the field and showing these young guys how it's really done and just carrying the mantle. Like, who is he passing it off to? Like, who really has that poise, that professionalism? You never really hear Brady in the media for anything negative. He's not, you know, having any issues when it comes to, getting arrested or suspect things like that. So I don't really know if there's ever going to be another Tom Brady. And if it is, it's going to be some big shoes to fill.
For sure.
Well, the heir for sure right now, obviously, is Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's the guy that's carrying the league right now. He's doing all the endorsements. He's like the perfect quarterback for the league. I think the league's in good hands. You're right. There's no one who's going to replace Tom Brady in the immediate future.
Right. All right. One thing I like to end with here is the good news that just came out of Buffalo earlier today with Damar Hamlin having been discharged from the hospital after suffering cardiac arrest just 8 days ago in that game against Cincinnati on the Monday Night Football. You know, a scary situation that really ended up having a really good ending. And Ruth, I just want to get your thoughts on the whole situation, on this whole situation, and what the emotions you were going through while watching this really scary scene on the field.
Yeah, I was watching Monday Night Football. I was really excited for that matchup against the Buffalo Bills and the Bengals. I mean, playoff implications, home seeding, all that, the AFC seeding and all that. A lot was at stake, but nothing really seemed to matter after seeing Damar collapse on the field and just become lifeless. I was feeling actually pretty sad. I had a conversation with a friend on the phone, and they were tearing up as well. Like, it was really hard to watch and just see the reaction of the players and his coaching staff and everybody that surrounded him. I was really terrified for the kid. I couldn't really understand what happened during that injury, like, because I kept replaying it over and over again, rewind playing, trying to understand if it was like a concussion. Did he hurt his neck? Was it a spinal injury? Why did he collapse in such a manner that he did? But it's really exciting to hear that he's discharged from the hospital after literally being resuscitated twice 8 days ago, literally bringing him back to life. Shout out to all the first responders and the staff that really were able to figure things out and knew exactly what to do. And that, and that's scary, and a lot of adrenaline must be rushing through your body. So it's fantastic to know that Damar Hamlin is going to be healthy and he's coming back. But I would just be scared to death to be a family member of his or a close loved one, for Damar to want to return to the NFL and actually physically get back on the field. It's just, I can't imagine what his mother and his family members are going through and thinking, because you already know this 24-year-old or 23-year-old is definitely going to want to get back on the field. He wants to play football. He wants to be reunited with his teammates. And the Buffalo Bills is such an amazing franchise to play for. They have such an awesome fan base. So I understand his eagerness, but I just, how can you go back like that? It's just, I don't really know what Damar is thinking, but I guess none of that really matters right now, because what matters is that he's alive. And it seems like he's going back into his same mojo, his high spirits. And from everything that I've heard, he seems like a great individual, and it's been awesome to see his charity flourish, and able to, gain all those funds from such a tragic event. But at least we have some good news to talk about. I know it started off scary. Everybody was thinking the worst, but Damar is going to be fine. And just praise God that he's going to be okay, because he had a lot of prayers going his way. Go ahead, Ryan.
I'm going to say this. If he ever plays again or he doesn't, he's going to have a permanent job with the Buffalo Bills. I see him as being a community ambassador. He is going to be with that franchise for a very long time. So financially, he's got nothing to worry about. The only thing he has to worry about is whether he plays again in football. That's all I think it will be of a major concern for him. But as far as his future, I think he's either going to be a community ambassador, motivational speaker. I think his life is actually set for him. So even though I know it's a tragedy, there's a lot of positive that's going to come out of this.
Yeah, I can't agree more with that, both what you guys said. You know, again, it was scary watching the whole situation, not knowing what was going on, and then to hear everything that happened afterwards, and for the fact that, again, him to be discharged and back home and, you know, alive and well for the most part now, the healing still is going to go forward. But this really couldn't have come at a better time, this news, because, again, I think we were all scared for him and what happened, and the fact that this, you know, is going to end with a good ending, good story, should I say, I think this really makes everyone just feel a little bit better about themselves, especially starting this new year off.
Yeah. Why do you think the NFL took so long to make the decision to postpone that game? I know that's not a conversation that people want to have, but I was a little disappointed that it took so long for them to clear out that stadium, to tell people that the game wasn't happening. I mean, trying to tell the players to go take 5 minutes to warm up after seeing a teammate, a brother of theirs, be resuscitated on the field by CPR. I don't really understand the thinking that was going with Roger Goodell and Ryan's over there making the money symbols. I get it. But I mean, in this day and age, they already have plenty, plenty, plenty of funds. And I just feel like the decision to call the game should have been a lot quicker. But I mean, things can't be perfect. It is what it is. They decided to postpone the game. Now there's going to be some challenges when it comes to AFC seeding and all that. But I mean, as long as DeMar is healthy and fine, that's all that matters.
Exactly.
Also, if you remember the movie Concussion or the events leading up to it, for so long, Emmett Omalu was his name, I believe. The NFL didn't want to believe anything he was saying, right? They were trying to discount for the longest time that, you know, that the NFL is a violent sport that causes concussions and brain damage and CTE and all that stuff. And I saw the same thing happening here with this Bills-Bengals game. The NFL is a greedy organization. They make, excess of, $10 billion a year, if not more. They're greedy. That's why they didn't make a decision sooner. And it's really sad. It's bad PR on their part. Thankfully, the players know better, and they're like, you know what? You can't play this game without us. And they decided very quickly on their own, we're not playing. You don't like it. Well, you know, tough. You know what? So we don't care. And I'm glad they felt that way because the rest of the country agreed with them. And as much as people love football, people are more concerned with the well-being of a person than they are about watching, you know, human gladiators on the football field, which is what it is.
Yeah,
I agree. And, you know, that's just, you know, something that the NFL is going to be criticized about this for a while. And it's going to be an ongoing saga. So stay tuned, as they say. But Ruth, thank you so much for coming on and giving us some of your time to talk some football. We really appreciate it. You can check out Ruth Kakias, who is the host of Moment of Truth on Saturdays, 2 to 3 p.m. on AM 1150 WTMP. And again, Ruth, thank you so much. As always, you've been a pleasure and you're awesome.
Thank you so much, guys. I definitely miss you. Next time I'm in Cali, I'll be hitting you two up.
Sounds like a plan.
And before, I just want to just close up by saying, you know, we're going to have you on. We'll talk hockey because that's still going on. That'll be going on past February. And I know you're just a sports fan in general. And we love having the passion that you bring to our show. And it just, you know, proof that women know sports, okay? I mean, people like, a lot of times, I think things have changed in our society. And we're really happy that we get your perspective on things because, you know, sports is for everybody. It really is. Yeah. It's one of those things that brings people together. Sports makes people happy, and it's fun.
Absolutely. Well said, Ryan. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we'll definitely have you on again soon, Ruth. Again, thank you again, and take care and enjoy the rest of your night.
Bye.
All right.